With readings and a sermon about storms, let me go right to the center of one present-day storm so that we can try to move through it, through the chaos, like Jesus across the lake. And that storm is, of course, the incarcerated children separated from their families having come into the United States illegally. Like many of us, I've been trying to follow the details of the storm, but it reached its emotional nadir last week when working out at the gym on the stationary bicycle and having the news on the TV screen and hearing the recording of young children in the processing center separated from their parents. Inconsolable. It was so disturbing. Anyone who hears that, you know, we're bred to hear a crying child and respond in a certain way. I had to stop. First time I ever stopped a workout and put my head down on my hands. At the gym. Regardless of who the parents are or are not, regardless of the illegal actions of the parents, I was driving to St. Patrick's Seminary on Thursday morning to work on this sermon, and they were talking about this and about to play the recording, and I turned the radio off. Believe me, I'm not trying to be politically partisan. I'm just trying to be honest from the heart, trying to be faithful in the midst of a frightening storm. I remember a few years ago, our President George W. Bush talking about compassionate conservatism. And we can remember that and think about, you know, how did we feel, what was compassionate and what wasn't. But today, compassion is a distant afterthought, a concession to self-interest and a nasty political climate. And we all have self-interests, but what do we learn today from the readings about what motivates us to follow Christ, what moves us to be faithful followers of Christ. I'm conscious here of our associate priest, Lindy, who, as it says in the bulletin, is on vacation this week. But I got a text from her on Tuesday night, I believe it was, saying, change of plans, flying to San Diego to protest at the border. What do we do with hearts open to suffering? How do we act? How do we take action as followers of Christ? Because it's clear that storms will always be part of the human experience. But let's look at the readings today. In that letter, in the lesson from Job, God speaks out of the storm, speaks out of the whirlwind. The whirlwind is part of life, a natural part of life. Chaos is real and ever-present. And God does not take away that if we are good. Where were you, Job, at the foundation of the earth when the morning stars sang together? In other words, know your place, learn humility. You are not the only person who is suffering unjustly. In the psalm, we're reminded that it is possible to move from a desolate pit, from despair, from a low point, to move past to a place of thanksgiving by the mercy of God. It is possible to be moved in that way. In Paul's wonderful, encouraging second letter to the Corinthians, a true treasure of sacred literature, he's encouraging those new followers of Jesus, separated from them, but writing to them and encouraging them to open their hearts. Last week, he said in the same letter, you are new creations in Christ. You are not the same. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. So all the challenges before them were changed with Christ as guide. And therefore, Christ is able indeed to save us from the chaos because of his example, because of his love, because of his giving, because of his strength. And notice Paul uses oxymorons in this letter. Oxy from the Greek meaning sharp, moron meaning dull. These incongruous, seemingly self-contradictory statements. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful and yet rejoicing always, as poor and yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Open your hearts. Despite the challenges and the chaos, the lack of goodness, the lack of compassion, despite even the presence of evil in any form, the good is still present, offered, and available. Yes, we are poor, but we are rich by the mercy of God, with purity and patience, kindness, and love. That perpetual love that we talked about in the collect today, that we prayed about. And that love is with us, and that love gives us power and strength to hold fast. We are alive, St. Paul says, in spirit. So open your hearts. Courage, Paul reminds those new Christians. Courage, the heart, the blood. Love is in your blood. Grace is in your blood. It's part of you. We hired a couple laborers from the Mountain View Day Labor Center. We're having sewer problems. So this sermon is full of sewer metaphors today. I'm sorry. And there's biblical precedent for this. St. Paul in Philippians uses the word that we translate as garbage or refuse, and it's stinkier than that, shall we say. It smells. But the two laborers were outside my window. I seem to be surrounded by sewer lines in the office. And my window was open, and because it's a church, they started talking about religion. Middle-aged guys. And the black man asked the white man about his faith or his religion, and the white man said, I think religion is inside of us. I think God is inside of us. So that's where I turn when I try to look for God. Not a bad theological statement. It misses the community, but they were having their own little two-person community right there, digging a ditch as embodied oxymorons, trying to get through the guck to clean it up and to fix something, to make it work. The readings ask us today, from where comes our motivation? What is your source of truth, of strength, of hope? Jesus says to the panicked, worried disciples in the midst of the storm, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? He doesn't fault them for being afraid only. He faults them for not bringing faith to their fear. There's plenty to be afraid of. And they woke him up from a nap, so he's probably grumpy. And he says, you wake up. What's moving you? What's motivating you? You wake up. Fear is not the most important thing. Is your heart opening or closing when you're afraid? Earlier in the week, I was walking around the campus on Sunday evening with my 3-year-old granddaughter, and she was doing the labyrinth, and there were 2 homeless people sitting on a bench right here next to the labyrinth. And they had plugged in their phone in our outlet and charged their phone and watching a video. And they had some, you know, milk boxes set up, and they had the phone there and food, and it was a nice little setting. And I said hello to them. We talked a little bit, man and a woman. And I said, you know, you're welcome to hang here, but you can't sleep here. No, we don't sleep here. We won't sleep here. I said, where do you sleep? He said, we have a place. I said, okay. And I left. When I went to work on Monday, I noticed numerous beer cans shoved in the bushes right behind where they were and in the memorial garden. And human waste in the memorial garden and elsewhere on the campus. So I went to see if they were there Monday night and said, hello, how you doing? And they said, good, how you doing? I said, I'm good, but I'm upset because someone left a mess in the garden last night. And it turned the switch in the man. And he said, what kind of attitude is that for a pastor? I said, excuse me? What kind of attitude is that for a pastor? And then he started yelling at me, calling me a hypocrite, and swearing at me. So you have this combination of, he stood up, he pointed at me, he touched my face. Some fear, what do? Anger. I said, you have to leave, I'm sorry. He yelled more, he screamed, he said, call the police, hey, let me call the police for you. He was very belligerent. And then she joined in. So much so that someone came out of the chapel from a 12-step meeting and said, is everything okay out here? And so I walked them off the campus and made sure they left. But all this is to say that the human life is very complicated. Very complicated. You know, you're trying to do good and someone's calling you a demon. Someone who's unhealthy, someone who's defensive, someone who doesn't have anything. How do you respond in that moment beyond not getting angry, beyond not being afraid? How do you truly help them, this chronic homeless person who doesn't want to be in a shelter? I'm assuming they were the people who spent the night. I don't know. I never told them I thought they were. But human life is complicated, and we can rationalize sending someone away for good reason. But what do we do about homelessness? What do we do about children suffering? Even if the law is being upheld, even if we have a right to do what we're doing, how do we cross over from compassion to justice in a way that matters, in a way that makes a difference, in the way that changes things for those who are hurting? It's not clear in today's gospel, but Jesus and the disciples going across the lake are going from a Jewish area to a Gentile area, to a foreign land. And the first thing that happens is this demoniac appears, the Gerasene demoniac, who's in chains and takes stones and hits himself. And somehow Jesus heals him. The disciples weren't comfortable going across that lake to that foreign place. That wasn't their place. There's crazy, sad chaos out there. But like Jesus, we're called to cross over and to see the other and try to figure out a way to make things better. to be healers and reconcilers and carriers of hope. St. Paul says, open your hearts wide, regardless of everything else. Compassion comes first. Compassion comes first. Whether we uphold the law, whether we change the laws, compassion comes first. Jesus says to the universe, peace, be still. Know that love is more powerful than fear. So I just want to end today. Notice the hymns too, the hymns today. You know, we sing about love every week. How do we take that in? The second verse from the hymn we sang already. All the world in one embrace enfolds us in love. With unfailing grasp, God holds us, every child of every race. And when human hearts are breaking under sorrow's iron rod, then we find that self-same aching deep within the heart of God. So I know this is a simple message for you, and I know it doesn't answer what we do with details in terms of making justice happening, but we have to figure that out. God is asking us to figure that out. Each and every one of us has to figure that out each and every day, and we need to support each other in doing that and find our way. So I just want to end today with one of my favorite stories of St. Mark's parishioners, when Miriam DeYoung, who's here, with her husband, who is now in the other place, took that pilgrimage from France to Spain and got caught in the storm. In their 70s, I believe, right, Miriam? Close to it? Yeah, late 60s. And they got caught in this, climbing the Pyrenees, 3,000, 4,000 feet, got caught in a storm. And everything became drenched, even though everything was waterproof. The winds were driving so hard. And they began to weaken and falter and fall, and Don would pick Miriam up. And they were close to being, what's the term when it's too cold?
Hypothermia.
Hypothermia, thank you. So very close to hypothermia, and Miriam fell, Don couldn't pick her up anymore. And so they lay down together and said, it's been a good life. I love you. Miriam said, one thought that occurred to her was, this is going to be really complicated for the kids. How do we explain this? I love you. Thank you. Goodbye. Obviously, the story didn't end there. Some angel came from town and was hiking out in that crazy storm and found them, ran back to town, got an ambulance. Miriam was a few hours away from death at the time. And they survived. And they lived some more and danced some more and loved some more. When we're in the midst of the chaos, let us turn to the powerful presence of love in our lives that we've received from each other, from our friends, our spouses, our partners, our loved ones, and let us use that to embody God's love and help those in need and lift all of us in the process. Compassion first. And always. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.